you know, new goals, new plans, new opportunities. And the Apostle Paul encourages us to look forward. If you will, this first verse here, I'm going to go over. If you turn to it, it's Philippians 3. And I'll be quoting verses 13 and 14. And I'll give you a second to get there. Okay, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, the scripture reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's what he's talking about moving forward. And, you know, every year as a church, we usually end a book or series, you know, in the Bible, and we're in this holding pattern. Then we dive into Christmas. And then as soon as Christmas is over, from that 26th to the 5th, you know, the first Sunday or second Sunday in January, it seems like when all the pastors seem to go on vacation. You know, they've done without taking care of this family, and then they go on there. So, and inevitably, in school, they call them filler sermons. They said you're going to have to do filler sermons. You know, this, that. Like when I preached over at Caseysville, he said, "Just get me through to January," is what he said. "I don't care what your topic is, just get me through to January." You know, because he's starting in Luke, and they're going to be in that for the next year and a half. So, and in no means am I saying that these filler sermons are negative. You know, they're not, in the slightest. No, sir, they're not. Anytime we can come together and hear God's word is a blessed occasion. It don't matter. But what happens is usually they focus on the coming new year, and they give great insights. They do. Focusing on the year, new year, is a good thing. Like I said, I just gave one over there, and it was four spiritual commitments we can make in the new year. I mean, they're pretty much topical. They have consistent themes, but they're faithfully prepared and immensely helpful. They are. A lot of times if somebody's in that season, that Christmas season, they're depressed or they're hurt or whatever else, they can be. Maybe it can turn them around. Maybe it hits them, you know, that there's some good things that can be coming in the new year. Now, I have to share one thing tonight with you, because my topic's primarily going to be, it's for the last two, 3 weeks, it's been new year, new year, new year, new year. What I ask us to do tonight is focus a little bit on what God did for us last year and close that chapter, and just some ideas to think about, you know, that maybe you haven't, but, you know, sometimes it's good to look back. I understand, you know, and the way, you know, I like to explain it all the time is, you know, God knows what happened back here. He knows the plan up here. He knows what's coming. He knows what your present situation is, but it's, sometimes we run into that new year, you know, just let's go, you know, and then without sometimes thinking, I'm still speaking for myself, reflecting back what he's actually done for me this previous year. Now, this last block at Bible college, I'm going through Bible college, I started late, way late. We thought we had arrived because we had just finished sermon prep. And the best way I can explain content and prep too, is I'm in my getting close to the end. If you think back to high school, middle school, training class, college, the worst absolute course you can take. Because it's five, they used to call them semesters, that's how long ago I was in school. Now they call them blocks. They don't even call them semesters anymore, they call them blocks. So it's a five-block course. And the best way I can explain it to you is, you write sermons nonstop, turn them in, three of your professors blow them apart. Now, most of mine is virtual. He's laughing. He knows what I'm talking about. You think you got a handle on it, and you get that first email, because ours is virtual. You know, I'm in school with 18 people, and you can see them. You know, there's Nevada, there's South Carolina, there's Pennsylvania. And you got your instructor in front of you. So you get that email back, and you open it up, and it looks like somebody just went crazy, like your grandkid went nuts with a coloring pen. You know, So that's what you do for, you know, and it for lack of better words, sometimes it's just horrible. And so we were sitting around in class because we passed. We passed. You know, so there's about 14 or 15 of us that were in class there. We're taking this victory lap talking about, hey, we can give, you know, sermons now and we don't have to be supervised. We don't. You know, it's like they let the gate open. And little did we know, our professor, Mr. Foster, walked in the room. Now, he's a 45-year pastor, all right, and really sweet-looking man until he started talking. Really sweet. And he looked at us and he says, gentlemen, congratulations. You are now just qualified enough to deliver God's word. Just qualified enough. And he said, in that pecking order who God's going to use for a vessel, you guys are about two slots above Balaam's donkey. That's exactly what he said. And everybody, you can see everybody in the room, we just kind of, he just said, you know, because it sucked the air out of the room. It sucked the air out of it. And he paused. There's a long pause, just gets, I guess, for effect. Because he's a blind man. He's been a pastor for 45, 50 years. He's blind, so he can't see it. He works his computer with one hand. He's got his braille going the other way. And he's got a girl sitting in the back, so if you do get cute and say something in that chat, she reads it to him. It took us a while to figure that out. You know what I'm talking about? Because he'd catch us if we were getting cute over here. But he followed up with, now you get to learn humility, is what he said. You get to learn humility. And how to be just God's vessel. And he says that quite a bit. Just God's vessel. No more, no less. He wasn't being mean. You know, everything in today's world, I guess, we got to work back to being mean because of feelings all over. But what he's trying to tell us is because they're God's words. You're his vessel. They're God's words. They're not mine up here. They're not, you know. They're his. And they're chosen by the Holy Spirit and shot and shared through his determined vessel, whoever's given it. That includes you. It's not about talking about that just in the pulpit up here. If we go to 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And the question I'm going to lead in with is, if you didn't heed the call, if he's called you in 2024, and I don't care what it is, I'm not just talking about preaching, if he's called you to do missionary work, you know, if he's called you, whatever the call, I mean, you can have a list this long, but you can always do something for the Lord. Amen. You can always do it for the Lord. And so in that context, if you didn't heed it, I'm sorry, I made the mistake of not turning that phone off. I'm going to be guilty there. Excuse me. But if you didn't heed it in 2024, please consider heeding it in 2025. And if he calls you, I mean, it took me years, to be perfectly honest. A lot of times I'm like, I don't know, he don't want me. You know, he does. He absolutely does. And here's another thing, too, that he drilled in our heads, and it really did happen. Like I said, in the humility part, I had to stop and thank God immensely this year for teaching me a lot of humility. It isn't about our polish or technique. It's not. Or our level of refinement in this pulpit, standing here, in or out of it. Because like when you're dealing with somebody on the street, you'll get better at it. Took me a while to figure out, the more that you pray and get on your face and the more you talk to the Spirit, let him guide you, you get better. You try to go alone, you ain't. It's going to hit you right here. That, you know, it's going to hit you. It was funny, too, because I was pacing around the house when I got done with that class because it's kind of mind-blowing. And I couldn't wait for Donna to get home because first time in my life I had to let her know that I was proud to be compared to a donkey. She just looked at me and said, okay, go with it. She had no clue. So, Let's dive in a little deeper here. While it's good to look ahead to the new year this evening, I want to challenge us to take a different approach just for tonight. Like I said, we go to Isaiah 51, verse 1. It reads, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug." And if we look in Psalms 18, verse 2, so that first one was Isaiah 51:1, and now we're in Psalms 18:2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, and in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." In Isaiah 51:1, it reminds us to look to the rock from which you were hewn, urging us to reflect on how God has shaped and sustained us. That's what it's getting at there. He shaped us. He sustains us. Psalms 18:2 ties into that by declares, "He is my rock and my fortress." These verses both reinforce that the Lord is our real source of strength and refuge. He is the strength and the refuge. He's the source. These verses would suggest to us to pause and acknowledge God's role in our lives in 2024. Then in Proverbs 3, in verse 6, it encourages us, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." I'm going to shift there to Micah 6. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." So in the first one there, 3:6, we got, "In all your ways acknowledge him." And then it's walking humbly, hence what I was talking about a little bit with that analogy I gave about trying to learn that in class. Sometimes you get ahead of yourself in trusting his plan for the year ahead. You know, and prepare our hearts to walk in his will. But before we look forward, I would prayerfully ask us to take a moment and reflect back on this previous year. What lessons did he teach you? And I was talking about humility for me. Did he teach you perseverance, maybe? Patience? Humility? Forgiveness? I mean, the list can go on. You know, if he was trying to teach you something, it's whether you took it and applied it. But let us give thanks for all that God has already done for us in 2024. Let us rejoice in his provisions and absolute grace we received last year. It was absolute grace. He does it every day. It's renewed every morning. Every morning. The psalmist declares in Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." This verse is an invitation to pause and stop for a moment and intentionally reflect on God's faithfulness. And I'm not just talking about your morning devotionals. You know, a buddy of mine said, "Well, I don't have to reflect on all that because, you know, I said, no, it's not what I'm talking about." I would ask that you honor him specifically for the magnitude of his grace shown to us throughout the last year. Specifics. Not just a passing thought, but deep, heartfelt meditation on how he has carried us through life's ups and downs in 2024. But he hasn't done that just for the last year. Everybody here, I assume, has accepted the Lord. He's done that our whole entire lives. Think back to a moment this past year when you were at your lowest. That happened to you this year. Maybe facing sickness. I had to go through some trials of sickness this year. Maybe financial struggles. And you know they come around too, those seasons of deep, real uncertainty. You know, did he carry you through those times? And thank him for it. Let's consider David in Psalm 34, verse 19. when he writes, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And that's what he does. He delivers you out of them. David faced so many trials, but he trusted God that he would deliver him in his time. This reminds us that even when life is hard, God is faithful to deliver us. He is always faithful to deliver us through our struggles and bring us through to the other side. He will get you to the other side. Has he done that for you this previous year? I would say it's worth reflecting. You know, reflective thought on how he got you through. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we see again, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. If we go to Psalms 34, verse 6, we read, I love this one. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Saved him all. He saved us out of all of our troubles. That is a powerful verse. These verses reflect our gratitude for God's faithfulness in answering our cries. If you've been there and you're hurting bad, you know what I'm talking about when you finally cry out because it's got you in the guts and he answers you faithfully. When we thought there was no outlook or path out of them, guess what? There he was. He was right there every time. So I'd ask again, did he bring you through something seemingly too difficult this past year? And take a moment to glorify him over it. God's faithfulness was evident in how he provided each of us strength to endure, whether through a supportive friend, spiritual breakthrough, or simple peace. And this is the one I like. Simple peace in our hearts that surpasses any understanding. That peace he gives you when you don't see it coming, and then it lands on you. And then all of a sudden you get that moment because it's got so overwhelming. And then you just get that feeling. Sitting in traffic, anywhere. You can be in a group of 100 people, and here comes that peace. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5, exhort us to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. For many of us, this past year may have brought health challenges or tough seasons. But God's provision has always been evident. Perhaps it was a healing you experienced. You know, I had a friend of mine, just out of the blue, he got healed up. He didn't think he had that. And there's not a doubt in my mind that God did it. Doctors couldn't do it. They told him they couldn't do it. How about the emotional strength that he gave you or a relationship restored by his grace alone? I had a couple this year I'd restored with people, and I didn't think they were ever going to be restored, and it had nothing to do with me. A lot of times it got into that judgment, grudges, and pride. I had to eat mine, but at the same time, God gave me the availability to restore those relationships. It wasn't of my own accord. Even in the darkest season, God has been our constant companion in 2024. Our constant. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 reminds us, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Think about that for a minute. Every single morning this past year, God's mercy was renewed for us. Every morning. Not once did he fail to provide that for us. Not once. When we were weak, he gave us strength. When we were in despair, he gave us hope. When we didn't deserve it, he still poured out his grace and abundantly on us. In 1 Timothy 1:14, Paul writes, "The grace of our Lord has poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." And what Paul is doing is he's reflecting on the overwhelming grace he received from the Lord, emphasizing that God's grace is not only sufficient, and it is always sufficient, but it's overflowing. It has no bounds. It has no end. This grace is accompanied by faith and love. Excuse me. I'm getting over that thing that's going around. God's complete and transformative work in our lives. That's what he does. He transforms us. If you let him. I recall a time this past year when I was overwhelmed by the pressures of work, especially school. Like I told you, they talk about the new generation in classes. When I'm in there and I'm like, "Hey, buddy, I'm 25 years older than everybody in here. I ain't that generation." You know, he's talking to them. You know, I'm past halftime, and hopefully I'm not in a two-minute warning, but I'm not the new generation. I mean, the first time I logged into class, they asked me what time we were going to start. I'm like, "I ain't the teacher." You know what I'm talking about? I ain't the prof. Everybody, eight of them hanging out in the room there, and I just, here comes Tony. You know what I mean? They're like, "What time are we starting?" You know, because they're like 26. You know, and they mess with me quite a bit, but I digress. Let me get back on point. And I told them, "I got T-shirts older than you." You know, it's a good thing, though. It's good to see younger people that actually love the Lord. And they're from all over, so don't get negative. Because a lot of times we get bogged down in that stuff. These guys from all 50 states, all of them love the Lord, and all of them are going to do some good things for the Lord. But back to the point, what I was talking about a second ago. It got overwhelming in school and life in general. You know, kids, grandkids. I was tired, to be honest with you. I'm definitely discouraged and almost at my breaking point. And it landed on me that every day, like I was talking about renewing them mercies every day. You know, God renews his mercy on me. It wasn't about... Where he saved me was not in the big and dramatic. Had nothing to do with it. He did it in the quiet moments, when simple prayers were answered. When I'm having the worst day I got, and one of my buddies I haven't talked to in a long time calls me up and says, "Hey man, my life's great. How's yours?" You know, or when I found peace in Scripture that I didn't even know I needed. That's how he got me too. I didn't think I had that problem, and then here he comes. I read it. It changes the whole focus. It lands on me that that's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. But what turned me around really was an old episode. I was riding in the car. I said, "God, you're going to have to give me a sign. You really are." I don't know what, it's an Air Force analogy, you know. I said, "I don't know whether I need to pull the D-ring on this or not." You know, when you pull the D-ring, it blows you out of the plane. It's this analogy of bailout, basically. Something's got to give. I don't know what you want. You know, what do you want from me? I don't know what the purpose is anymore. And I hit the button on the radio, and you know where I'm going with this. Turning Point with Reverend Charles Stanley was on the radio. I listened, you know, for years. What comes across the radio? I mean, there's no hesitation, no nothing. I'm like, "God, you tell me what the purpose is." And Stanley comes across and he used to say it all the time, "God has a purpose for your life and he is always working in your circumstances to bring about that purpose." That didn't happen by accident. It's funny how that works. Dr. Stanley often spoke about God's sovereignty and his purposeful work in our lives. He reminded us that nothing in our lives is random or meaningless. It's not, if we are in Christ. God is orchestrating everything for our good and our glory. His glory, not ours. In that moment, God was reminding me that his faithfulness would never fail. God's grace is evident in the small, the everyday moments, and even when we don't expect it. So please, let's definitely take time to thank him for those moments, no matter how small they were, last year. You know, if you're like me, I have a tendency to say thank you for the big, but not the small. Every moment of healing, every act of redemption, and every provision we receive is an absolute testament to his steadfast love for us. Let us reflect on what times those applied to us last year. Isaiah 43, chapter 19, promises, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Now shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Perhaps last year you faced one of those years where nothing seemed relevant. I call them page flippers, calendar flippers. Blah, followed by blah, followed by blah. Ain't nothing happening. And if you're having one of those years where you think you're not moving forward, just change, nothing's really happening. I've got some friends going through that now. They think their spiritual life is dry. There's nothing to be happy about. Look closer. How has God made a way? Maybe he's brought you new opportunities you didn't think about. They were there, you just didn't see them. How about new people? He put somebody in front of you. You either shared his word with, helped out, whatever. Or a fresh perspective that you didn't have before. Did he try to change your attitude? You just didn't hear him. Maybe, like we referenced back to that verse, maybe it's like the Israelites. He has made streams appear in dry places in your life. Maybe he has. You gotta catch him. When we think about the trials we faced this past year, whether personal struggles, family challenges, or unexpected difficulties, we can take heart in knowing God was with us every step of the way. Did God give you some reflective things? Maybe. It would probably behoove you to take a look. And here's one that's hard, but if you've been through the loss of a loved one, you've experienced God's faithfulness and his comfort and peace too. Isaiah 41:10 reminds us, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God has been with us in our grief, offering comfort in our sorrows and hope for things ahead. He was right there with us, as promised. He promises that. So if you experience that, you're not alone. You are not alone. Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you, nor he will not forsake you." And he won't. Church, God shows us second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. His faithfulness is not a concept. It is a lived reality in our lives. There's a lot of people out there that can't say that. Deuteronomy 31:8, still in the same book, two verses later. "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." In 2024, you may have found yourself facing a major life change. Maybe it was a new job, a move, change in family dynamics. If you were fearful or uncertain, let's be real. You truly knew he was way ahead of you. That's how faithful he is. He got out in front of you to handle it. We're the ones that worry. He don't. He was preparing the way and making sure you'd be equipped to face whatever was ahead. God leads us through each season of life, guiding and protecting us along the way. He does. And church, that's why I'd ask tonight, we pause tonight. I can quote scripture and give examples all night long. Why can't I? Because I'm going to tell you, and you already know, we have a magnificent, awesome, omniscient, loving, caring God. That's why I can sit up here nonstop and give them till, and you guys are going, "Please don't." But I could, you know. Before we set resolutions, before we talk about our plans and our goals for 2025, let us reflect and give glory to the one who has been our anchor, our provider, and above all else, our sustainer in 2024. In closing, let me offer this. Psalm 145, verse 13 declares, "The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. He is worthy of all our praise, not just for what he has done, but for who he is." And who is he? When we decide to go alone, he's the one waiting patiently for us to find our way back. When we move away from him, we start that, "I'm over here." He's not like some other guys you hear about where you got to work your way to him. You move away from him, he's going to move in closer. And when you decide to turn, he's going to go, "How can I help you? Hello." He's right here the whole time. He's coming in closer. You know, we don't have to pray five times a day to try to ask him to please. He's right there. You got the Spirit in you and a God standing right next to you. That's about the safest place you can be on this planet. When we feel frail or we're dealing with physical limitations or just getting older, something Dr. Lear alluded to, he reminds you that when this is all over, he's going to make you whole spiritually. You're going to get a new body. There's no more pain. No more. We're going to get to lose these bodies and spend all eternity with him. Amen. With him. And there's another one I love too. When he can't defend us, when we can't defend ourselves, he passionately defends us. Passionately defends us. When we are not worthy, he extends us an unending love and mercy. Unending love and mercy. So let us give our hearts in gratitude, giving thanks for his mercies that they're new every morning, and his steadfast faithfulness, like we've covered this evening. You know, he was steadfast and faithful, loving us all the way through 2024, and he will finally, and when we finally do put 2024 in his rear view, no matter what your perspective is, whether you're blah, "This is the best year of my life," or I couldn't wait for this thing to be over, no matter what your angle is, let us remember that the same God who carried us through 2024 is the same loving God who's going to lead us forward in 2025. Amen. So to him be all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all your provisions, for your consistencies, for your love. All you do that we miss sometimes, we were grateful you're there because you are our salvation. You are the only reason we're afforded the opportunities we have. Thank you, Lord, for getting us through 2024. And please, Lord, protect us and guide us through 2025. Please, dear Lord, in all we do, we want to give our grace and the glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray, and we pray, amen.